Bibles are always nice. Okay. Am I on, or do I have to turn it on? I was looking for the on switch. It's not like mine, for sure. Oh, you hold it down? Hey, the green light came on. Is that it? All right. Hello? Okay. We're there. Yeah. I'll tell you what. You broken all of your New Year's resolutions yet? Good. Some people do that, don't they? Well, I was telling Brother Donnie Pollard about, you know, when we started this, I was 21 years younger. And I did have some gray hair. My dad was gray-haired at 46. And I made it till close to 50. So I beat him by a couple of years before mine went white. But I was telling Donnie Pollard about this guy who had gone into one of these fast food restaurants and got his burger and whatever it was. And the kid said, $5.37, please. And he handed him the $5 bill, and he's looking for 35 cents. He said, I've got more change out in my car, so let me go get it. He said, the kid said, okay, that's all right. And he said, you know, that kid said to me the words that I never wanted to hear. He said, I'll give you the senior citizen discount. Oh, he said, I'm not even 60, and he's giving me a senior citizen discount. He went huffing out of there. He decided to go back in and give that freckle-haired, pimple-faced boy part of his mind. And as he walked back in the place, the kid's standing there going like this. Says, I knew you'd be back. Forgot your keys. He grabbed his keys. He went out of there and got in the vehicle, and he's trying to start the thing, and it wouldn't start. Finally, he noticed there was a child seat in that vehicle. It wasn't his. He jumped out of that thing and went, found his own, got in there, and got started up. And as he got her started up, the lady comes up by and said, you forgot your sandwich. So she gives him his sandwich. And when he went home to his wife, he had to try to explain to her the ability he had for not only the sandwich, but going 80 miles an hour in the 35-mile-an-hour zone. So I realized that I was getting old at our family reunion when all of my dad's brothers and sisters were just about all gone. And this little kid threw a ball, and the other kid said, hey, you almost hit that old man. Whoa, I think I'm getting old. All right. I had something else I wanted to read to you. I think you'll enjoy this. This was at Purdue University. They were talking about Democrats versus Republicans and what the problem is and so forth. And there in the classroom in Purdue University, they were discussing the qualifications to be a president. Said the candidate must be a natural-born citizen of at least 35 years of age. And right away, this one girl, she started in on how unfair this requirement was to be a natural-born citizen. In short, her opinion was that the requirement prevented many capable individuals from becoming president. And she went on, and the class sit there just listened to her rant and rave for 5 minutes or so. And then finally she wrapped up her argument by stating, what makes a natural-born citizen any more qualified to lead this country than one born by C-section? Oh, by the way, these people vote. No wonder we're in trouble we're in, huh? I wanted to speak a few minutes on something a little different. Now we read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, it says that the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he made. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We have a week of creation beginning and bringing into being something that had never existed before. We have a week of creation that, dare I say, has never been and never will be such a week as this week was. 7 days of creation. Rest on that seventh day, and the eighth day was a day of new beginnings. Man began to live on that eighth day in a seven-day rotation that we still live in today. So I want to speak to you for a few moments this afternoon on the subject eight, the number. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the few minutes that we've got here to preach the Word of God. And I pray that these thoughts will be a help and an encouragement. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God just might move in our midst this afternoon. I pray you'll anoint me and fill me with power. I pray you'll hide me behind the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be high and lifted up. And Father, we'll give you honor and glory and praise for whatever may be accomplished. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The word eight and eighth are no less than 125 times in the Bible. Besides meaning the number eight, primary number eight, it also has the idea of surplus or above perfection, the number seven, and is used as a number of new beginnings. I want to show you a few examples in the Old Testament, and then a couple in the New, and then give it a challenge to you. Would you look at Genesis chapter 17? Genesis chapter 17 and verse 12 says that, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. We find the first use of the word circumcised in verse 10. And here in verse 12, he tells us where it begins. It was a new beginning of generations for the house of Abraham. Anyone born in his house or bought with money or a stranger was to be circumcised. And this was new. This has never existed before. This was a sign of the covenant that God had made with Abraham. And I can tell you that that covenant is just as true today as the seven-day rotation that we are in for every week. New beginnings. Let's look at another. 1 Samuel 17. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 12. It says, now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had how many sons? Eight. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. Now, you recall why this assembly was made as they were looking for a king to anoint David king. Drop down to verse 14 says, and David was the youngest. Therefore, he was number eight, wasn't he? Eight sons, number eight. He was the last of them. We find David the youngest. He was a new beginning of kings in Israel. There was, or there has not been a new line of the kings of Judah, at least, since David. And could I tell you that the King of Kings, when he rules and reigns on this earth, is going to rule and reign on the throne of David, because he's of the house and the lineage of David, the Bible tells us. Leviticus 9. We'll look at one more here in the Old Testament. Leviticus 9. It says, "And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel." Drop down to verse 23. And it says, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all of the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all of the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." This was a new beginning. This was the beginning of the ceremonial priesthood. Moses and Aaron, on that eighth day, the consecration was made. And we find that the sons of Aaron, even to this day, know of they are of the descent of him. All of the other Jews, they're so mixed up, they can't tell you what tribe they came from or what part of the family they belong to. But the Levites know. I have talked with them, and they know. And whenever the temple is rebuilt, they're going to be there to be the priests. New beginning. There had never been a priesthood before set up like this. Now, let's go to the New Testament for a minute. I got a couple here in the New Testament. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse 26. And you'll recall the story. This is right after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 20 and verse 26, it says, "And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you." Here we find this first Sunday after the resurrection Sunday, the first Sunday, the 8 days later. And we find here a new beginnings. We find a beginning of worshiping on the first day of the week. This had not existed before. The Jews always worshiped on the Sabbath. And now we have something that has never occurred in history before, and that is worshiping. And so we have the pattern here set forth, a new beginning, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. 1 Peter 3:20 says, "Which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing within, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water." We find here Noah and his family. 8 souls. A new beginning that takes place on this side the flood. I have no idea how many people may have been alive on the other side of the flood. I was trying to imagine what that must have been like, to have the entire earth flooded. I'm going to guess at least as the population was at least as many as there are today, because those people lived long and they had many children. Can you imagine even just today's population? We just hit, 7 billion, I think, just a week or so ago, in population on the earth. Can you imagine all of them perishing except 8? And on the other side, we have a new beginning with 8 souls. Before the flood, the Bible says in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. I thought about that, and I thought, it's no different today, is it? It's no different today. Man's imagination and thoughts of his heart are still evil continually. And then look at 2 Peter 2:5, just a further thought here. 2 Peter 2:5. And says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the what? Eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. A new beginning, bringing in the flood of the ungodly. Now, the eight number is used for a lot of other things. I mean, when you check it out, but it definitely is used at times in the Word of God to mean new beginnings. And I come up with the number eight. Ingenious of me. I took 20 and subtracted 12, since this is the year 2012. And I thought, well, that's eight. Brilliant, huh? And I thought, why don't we make this year 2012 like the number eight? Why don't we do something new? Salvation, you know, if you've never been saved, what a better time in a new year to get that thing settled. Get your life before God and know that you're on your way to heaven. Old things are passed away, the Bible says. All things become new when you get saved. When you get saved, that's a new beginning. What a difference it is in your life. I'll tell you, when that past is wiped out, you sometimes think back and it brings you to tears what you were like before you got saved. Maybe you've never been baptized. That's a step of an obedience, following the Lord after you're saved. Why not this year 2012 get that thing settled? Get that taken care of. Join the church. Become a part of the work of God. You see, that's the next step after you're saved, baptized. As far as I know, I was the first one in my family to get saved, at least as far as recent generations are concerned. The first one in my family to get saved. And you know what? It started a new beginning. It started a new beginning. My mom got saved. My dad got saved. Two of my brothers got saved. Still got one that's not saved. My sister got saved. I think my other sister saved also. Aunts, uncles, cousins. I have preached all of their funerals, and I could preach funerals where they were saved. Amen. New beginning. I was a teenager, by the way, 17 years old. 17 years old. And I didn't do anything for God for 4 years. What a waste. But when God got a hold of my heart, it made a difference. Listen, if you've never been saved, you could be the start of a new beginning in your family. And my children are saved. My grandchildren, except for three, and they're four and 6 months. The rest of them are all saved, as far as I know. What a difference. What a difference. And I warned them, by the way, they're second-generation Christians and going to be third-generation Christians. And I warned them they need to get into the Word of God. You need to know that the Word of God says what it says, and it isn't what Dad was teaching me. It's not what Grandpa's teaching me. It's what the Word of God says, and I need to make that my conviction. I don't know if any of you were at my, I think some of you may have been at my son's ordination, oldest son. It was at Grace of Calvary back a number of years ago. And a lot of questions were asked by different preachers. Sheldon Smith was there, and I forget who else. And when it came my turn to ask him a question, I said, these things that he's talking about, your answers, I said, are they your conviction or mine? He said, they're mine. He went through a period when they were mine and not his. But by the time he got ordained, we knew they were his. And I wanted the people there to know, just because I'm the preacher, this isn't my conviction. They're convictions that he has come to because he got in the Word of God. Listen, we need to get in the Word of God. What a better time to do it. This is New Year getting started. Get in the Word of God. Make the Word of God convictions of yours. Hey, good time to read through the Bible. Never read through the Bible before? What a good time to do it. Get started while the year is fresh. You only have just a few days here to catch up. If you get on a daily reading, I'm sure the preacher's got all kinds of those around. Get on a daily reading. I put out a schedule every month at our church, and they sign their name on the back and check it off and sign their name and turn them into me. And I can keep up with how many people is reading through the Bible. And we got a good number reading through the Bible. Some of them here today. read through the Bible. Listen, make that a new beginning for you. And you can keep on reading through the Bible. Maybe you've never given a tithe of your income. No better time to start than making this year like that number 8. Make it a new beginning. I remember the first time I did that. I had given money. I always gave money in church, but I never really started to tithe until I was in college studying for the ministry. I thought, man, if I can't trust God here, if I cannot live on what he gives me and me give back a tithe and give to missions, I learned that as well, over and above my tithe. If I can't do it here while I'm studying for the ministry, how am I going to preach that it works when I get in the ministry? Anybody know who Charlie Tremendous Jones was? I remember one time I was sitting in a meeting. He said, this young fellow came in to me and said, I'm going. He said, you are? He said, where are you going? He said, I'm going in the ministry. He said, I thought I'd bust his bubble. He said, I told him if he wasn't in the ministry when he went into the ministry, he wouldn't be in the ministry when he got in the ministry. Hey, there's some truth to that. How about family devotions? How about personal devotions? How about starting the day with a time of prayer and reading the Word of God? Never done it before. Make this a year of new beginnings. Let's do it. How about leading someone to Christ? That was something. I was forced into it one time. And you know what? I found I liked it. I liked it. I was in the meeting, and the evangelist preached, and several people had raised their hands and said, Seymour, take this boy in the back room here. I had never heard of the Romans Road. When I got saved, the pastor read from the Bible Romans 10:10. And I got it marked on my certificate that I carry with me, my spiritual birth certificate. And I remember that. And so I go back and I open up the Word of Romans 10:10 here. Why not make this a year when you try to lead someone to Christ? If you have a problem, call the preacher. Call someone you know is a soul winner. Let them help you. Get you an outline down. And then plan to be in all of the services. Plan to be in all of the services. Every service you miss a blessing from God. Now, I've missed a number of blessings from God over the years. And I found out that you be faithful, and God will have the blessings there for you. find someone to bring to church, services. Not only be in the services, but plan to do some service. Push a broom, volunteer to sweep. Run a duster, volunteer to dust. Use the phone, volunteer to call. Know how to handle babies? Volunteer for the nursery. I'll tell you, there's all kinds of things that you can do that will allow other people to be blessed of God. Hey, I like my house clean, and my house is clean. I like my life clean, and I try to keep my life as clean as possible. But you know, the church needs clean too. People walk in and see a dirty church, you wonder, what kind of people go to church here? And then try to be a blessing to someone. Try to be a blessing to someone. Man, I've had all kinds of blessings this past year as I think about it. But there are some people from this church right here that have been a blessing to me. Encouragers. I'll talk about him since he isn't here. Justin, he's working today, plays the piano. He sent me a card one time and said, just wanted to know you've been a blessing, always at the youth meetings, and you've been a blessing. And he put a check, or not a check, but a card with a gift card, you know, to a gas station. Amen. That's an encouragement. There's another fellow sitting back there, and he says, you're my favorite song leader. Oh, that encourages me. Encourages me. I enjoy it. But I'm glad that others enjoy it as well. Listen, be a blessing to someone. Be a help to them. Be an encourager. Maybe you've been a teacher and you're thinking, now, I'm just getting tired of teaching Sunday school. Let somebody else do it for a while. Hey, why not just rededicate yourself to that teaching ability that God's given you? Maybe you decided to quit singing specials or quit singing in the choir. You've got a voice that you can use. Why not rededicate that to God and let your singing be an instrument, playing an instrument, whatever it is. Use that. Let God use that. Why should we allow this year, 2012, to be the same old year as last year, or the year before, or the year before, or the same old rut we've been running in, and doing the same old thing? Let's do something to change it. Make it so that we can be an honor and a glory and a praise to God. Now, I've given you a number of suggestions. Maybe God spoke to your heart in some other areas. I don't know what it might be, but there's a lot of things here that we can do in this new year and not be the same. I'm determined that 2012 is not going to be the same. I want things different. And God helping me. The Holy Spirit inspiring and strengthening me and giving me power. I want it to be different. Let's pray it's different for you. Brother Foote.
Sometimes we come in a building like this, hear a message, and we think of somebody and say, Lord, bless that person or speak to that person. I think it's time we just bow our heads and say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, what will thou have me to do? And don't just leave this message out in the air. Take it in the heart, and let's see what God has us to do. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for this message. New beginnings, new year, new week, new opportunities, and God help us not waste them. Someday, it's going to be our last year here upon this earth. Someday, it's going to be our last day here. If this is it, we'll be found faithful. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, turn to page 155, sing a couple stanzas, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. The altars are open. 155.